You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Busy morning with an Apple event today. SEC Chief Gary Gensler on the Hill, got a new CFO at Goldman, and core CPI up 1/10 in August, less than expected. Catnip for the transitory camp. Futures are up on that news. Our roadmap begins with cooling inflation. CPI data does show inflation less hot than forecast in August.
Plus, as Carl said, Apple's also making an emergency iOS fix to close a spyware flaw, and this as the company does prepare to unveil that latest phone lineup later today.
And congressional Democrats pushing ahead with some new tax hike plans, plus AOC making the message clear last night at the Met Gala. We're going to dive into CPI to start the morning. Year on year, 5.3 is in line. Core 4 is a little bit light. Used cars down 1.5
for the first time. The Manheim Index, David, which I tell you over and over again is something you have to follow, did indicate that there was a slight dip. But, of course, we do not have anything other than Cummins Engine last night saying there's a possibility, Cummins Inc. now, but that there could be an end to the chip shortage at a certain point. I am not finding that to be the case as much as I find it beleaguering, because I had Avnet, one of the largest wholesalers, said, listen, there's still no end to it. But, David, this CPI number, which I think a lot of people are saying, I don't know, could you find something that's not hot? Does fly in the face of the bearish narrative, and I don't have an answer for it other than the fact that numbers.
Well, don't forget, back in the spring, or I forget when you and I would go back and forth on a daily basis, you were in the transitory camp.
I did, because you see, everything that I buy is up. So yes. I started thinking my eyes don't lie. Right. I was going with the lying eyes thing, but you know that's an Eagles and not just the team that won.
Not the Eagles, man.
Lebowski reference there.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. What?
Well, I think Bitcoin's going to be at 72,000 by the time both of us are dead. Well,
that would
How's
be inflationary,
that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the blowback when we're dead right. with 72,000? No, look, I think that this CPI number is not the number I was looking for. How about that? Now that I admitted that I was wrong on that, there'll be over 5,000 people on Twitter said, I remember 1993 when Cramer said that he was happy at home.
Well, one read on it this morning is simply that Delta took the wind out of pricing power for hotels and autos, and that there still will be cyclical pressures, right? Economic cycle pressures that the Fed can't take their eyes off of.
Yeah, but then you get a situation where people again said yesterday was the peak in hospitalizations. How do we know what the peak is when it's not gotten cold yet and when the kids aren't back from school good?
We don't. But back to the inflation discussion for a moment. I mean, it was only yesterday we were talking about an analyst report about Nike talking about supply chain disruptions, particularly in Vietnam.
Yeah, second one today.
We were talking about 3M, which put out its own sort of concern and or about rising costs.
Right.
So, I'm not sure how it all evens out given today's number. Well, again, could that just be transitory?
We had this issue last week where we thought that airlines would be doing badly because of Delta. And then yesterday we got that airlines might be doing better because of a slowdown in Delta. We've got lots more stories about how vaccinated we are. I just think that in the back, that's what I said to my colleague Joe Kernan this morning. In the absence of news, I am not going to get excited about the market. Not when we go into the four roughest weeks of the year.
You have been really focused on seasonality.
I have to be, because there has to be some reason why over a 20-year period, these 4 weeks have been weak. And I think a lot of it is because people they find that there are a little self-fulfilling. Maybe David thinks I'm being a little self-fulfilling, meaning that I'm trying to cherry-pick things that are negative, because why does it always go down? And it's a little Tolstoy-like, all happy families are the same, all unhappy families are different in their own way, all unhappy sell-offs are different in their own way.
And you continue to believe, and you have a nice list of reasons why, that September will be.
He's been watching the show lately, which is intimidating to me.
I know.
I guess if you didn't get the Jeopardy job, it's just
It leads into Jeopardy by an hour, so, you know, I can watch you, and then I'm there.
There is a
guy. And then I'm right at Jeopardy.
There's a guy who should have taken the Jeopardy job.
Me.
He plays for Green Bay.
Oh, not me.
No, not you. Oh. No, you're out.
Hey, I'm not out yet. I'm not out yet.
I thought you were out.
I'm not in, but I'm...
But anyway, I do think that there are a lot of people who want to say that don't short a dull market. And I'm not saying short. I'm just saying that this is historically not a great time. So I'm not, you know, yesterday NASDAQ opened up and everyone got all excited. And then the only thing that was up was it's like seven semiconductor companies. Now, today, everyone's excited about a Microsoft call. Now, like I'm going to hear from Andy Jassy telling me things are good. We will.
We are going to hear from Jassy today.
Let's ask Jassy about the Giants' performance, since he lives or dies by the Giants.
First question on the Giants?
Completely. Okay. Ask about the fumble.
Right, not about the 145,000 additional jobs they'll be adding or the 450,000 jobs.
Well, I would ask him first about the Giants and then about the tax the risk, AOC's. Catch the AOC.
We'll
I was not at the gala this
later.
Year.
No, you weren't.
Yeah. Nor have I ever
I missed
been.
You there.
Nor have I ever been.
Never been myself.
Never been?
No.
You've been to the gala?
No, he's never
have
been to
the
gala.
Have you been to the Metropolitan?
No. Why, did you go last night?
No, I always wanted to go.
You'd look good.
You did? You wanted to go?
Why not?
AOC might have brought you as her date.
Yeah.
That's highly unlikely. I don't think that that's really in the cards, David.
Make a very handsome couple.
The other big news today in the next hour will be, of course, SEC Chief Gary Gensler in front of Senate Banking.
Yes.
We do have one quote from the testimony. We just don't have enough investor protection in crypto finance, issuing, trading, or lending. Frankly, at this time, it's more like the Wild West or the old world of buyer beware that existed before the security laws were enacted. He wants more transparency on corporate bonds,
yes,
on crypto.
Well, we remember, and he references it twice, and when Roosevelt came in, the philosophy was caveat emptor. And then Roosevelt said, you know what, there's got to be a bargain. We will have deep markets and people can buy, provided that there's transparency about what the companies are saying. So,
right.
David.
What?
I mean,
I'm communicating with my producer. I'm looking at Gensler's op-ed today from the
Wall
Street Journal.
Well, I need you to look at me. I am the captain.
Okay? Yeah.
I think that when I read what Gensler's saying, he's basically saying, you know what? We literally have an era with crypto, which is pre the 34 Act.
We are going to have an opportunity to talk to him tomorrow.
We are?
At length. Something we've been working on for some time and are quite excited about. Obviously, we'll be watching his testimony this morning, but we're going to be able to hit on so many different areas with Mr. Gensler. Remember, it's not just crypto, it's SPACs. It's also China, and that gets you to today's op-ed from him, where he talks about Chinese firms need to open their books, talks about the Holding Foreign Companies Accountable Act that was passed this last year by Congress to prohibit trading in an issuer stock of a foreign jurisdiction, prevents the oversight board from inspecting the company's audit for three consecutive years, and says there could be some real trouble by 2024 in terms of us prohibiting about 270 China-related companies from trading.
Do you think he really wants to wait to 2024? Wasn't the tenor of that saying we got to pull that forward? I mean, Carl, we have two markets. We have the market where you can do whatever you want, whether it be crypto, whether it be Chinese offerings. And then we have all these other markets that everyone has to suffer from constantly having to disclose things. So I think that the idea that we have two markets is about to come to an end. I know that my colleague is often saying that Gary Gensler, he's had a full plate. I think Gary remarkably addresses a lot of the full plate concerns in this testimony. It's going to be really groundbreaking.
It will be interesting. I'm looking forward to having him on tomorrow again to go over so many of these different things on that plate. But the question is, what will actually occur? Okay, you can keep writing op-eds, but at some point, you're going to have to actually make a reg, do something.
Right.
I mean, he goes on to say he doesn't believe China-related companies currently are providing adequate information about the risks they face. Okay, what are you doing about it?
Well, the difficulty I have is, again, there's two issues to the Chinese, and you can see this with WIN trading down today, which is a new rule promulgated that may actually hurt how the casinos are judged. In this is the so-called nanny state that my colleague Ben Stoto has been talking about, which is that the Communist Party has suddenly said, hey, you know, gambling's not so great, gaming's not so great. You know, David, if DraftKings were there, it would be a nightmare. be a nightmare for the people at DraftKings.
Yeah.
But I do think that what we're seeing is that Gensler recognizes, you know, oh, you got to be kidding me, down 8?
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
It might also reflect some renewed lockdowns in China.
Well, that's a problem. They have one person infected, 22. You got that same, the Delta variant, which just seems to be able to, we seem to be very blessed. I'm waiting to see the numbers from Sunday's games and Saturday's college games. So far, no spike other than the one that we keep seeing, ICU. Look at that. Look at that, David.
Yeah,
look at those.
That's interesting. And, I mean, Goldman took a crack at these corporate vaccine mandates yesterday, how many it might convince or force to get vaccinated. 12 million people, they say. They argue by next July, mid-22, you're looking at 90% of adults with a dose.
Well, I find when I speak to CEOs behind the scenes, they're really reluctant to do what a couple of people have done, Bob Chapek, Disney. If they can stay off the hot, red-hot griddle of vaccines, they're going to try to. And so I think that the idea that as much as I felt initially there was a burst of corporate adoption,
yes,
I now think that there are CEOs who are just saying, look, I'm getting some pushback. I don't want to offend people.
I think it's a mixed bag. I hear that, but I also still, there is that frustration amongst CEOs that they have not been able to get their workforces back in the office right. In any meaningful way, and that here we are in mid-September and now pushing these dates back to January, led by the tech companies, and it varies according to industry, but many look at the largest, most important companies, I guess, we have. So when Apple or Alphabet or so many others are saying, that can be next year. And by the way, it's going to be hybrid forever anyway.
Well, that's why
CEOs in other industries sort of feel frustrated right. because their employees are being like, why should I go back when they're not going back?
Palo Alto uniquely have an analyst meeting that went very well yesterday. People are raising numbers furiously because Nikesh Arora accurately predicted that we'd be in hybrid mode at this point. There are a lot of other people who did. They all felt that everybody's back. Obviously, we're not.
Well, speaking of some of those tech giants, Apple is going to hold that product event in a few hours. Companies expected to unveil the newest iPhone model, as well as updates to the watch and some AirPod headsets. It's going to begin at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And as with other recent events at Apple, they will be held virtually. Goldman last night argued they think there's going to be an announcement on installment payment options at zero interest, which would allow consumers to get in on some of the pricier phones.
Well, there you go. Buy now, pay later. Look, I think that this whole thing, people who, including my friend Dan Niles, they act as if Apple is just some sort of they have a retail store. Absolutely. Apple is, who is your provider? Who's your provider? T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon. And by the way, this is all over the world. Who buys them and what do you get them? Now, my phone broke yesterday. I think it's very timely. I don't think it's a vast national conspiracy. But I'm looking at providers and saying, you know what, I'm going to shop around.
As you should, because right now you can get potentially very good deals in terms of a trade-in.
But they have to, Apple, those are kind of orders that Apple has a good look at.
Right.
So I don't think that, they're not just waiting for people to come in the App Store. That's what it always seems like, but come into an Apple Store. No. I mean, you go to the T-Mobile store. That's what you go to.
I've pointed this out. I'm the idiot who actually did go to the Apple store and waited 3 hours and paid full price when I could have just gone to Verizon.
You're a first-class idiot.
I'm a complete moron when it came to that.
That's pathetic.
And I didn't get any, I was not happy about it.
Did you get COVID?
I thought my son could have figured it out, too.
Yeah, well, younger people seem to know
I did not,
things.
Though. That's
you didn't
good
get COVID?
News.
Okay, so it's 50% win.
Yeah.
I do think that when we look at this, there are so many people who always say it's incremental, and then you get, it's like, holy cow, I can't believe, look at this. I mean, I got this, I got that, I got this. I mean, why do people realize Tim Cook is not a self-promoter, all right? There will be things in that new phone that will dazzle you.
So you think there'll be a surprise today, or is it just going to be the typical upgrades and the camera and the processing power?
No, there'll be surprise,
good,
and the watch will be surprise.
Well, they're already going to do a $38 billion in device sales.
Siri, does David Faber have any idea what he's talking about?
Wearable sales.
Says she's on it.
Come back. Wearing that watch for a long time.
Working on that.
Does it finally actually make calls for you where you don't need the phone? It
constantly.
Does, right?
I know. Well, I have the phone. I mean, I know it does. But she goes, please check back in a bit. So she's not even sure about whether
she's
you're a total
that,
idiot right. when you bought that. Look, I think that the expectations are low. Plus, let's not forget, you had that crazy decision where somehow 9 out of 10 go with Apple and the 10th goes with Epic. And so then the stock goes down $80 billion. Finally, for once, Apple's not coming in hot.
No, stock has underperformed all year.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has, David. Yes.
All right. We'll see if there's actually something of a surprise later in terms of new features. Or I don't know.
Do you think there's
doesn't
bad
seem
luck?
To be the expectation.
Apple 13.
What about Apple 13?
Oh, it's the 13. You know how
lucky
there's no
13.
You know, there's no 13.4 in the Empire State Building.
I know.
They don't seem to mind. And it's been relatively leak-proof, at least this particular event.
It sure is.
We'll find out more in a few
hours. And the
hours.
Apple 7 watch. I mean, look, if I can get a watch that actually gives me no false positives and blood pressure, I would take that in a nanosecond. I mean, right now, you ever use a cuff? You, like, fed your blood pressure? You're, like, trying to figure
take
it out because you have white coat
often.
Problems?
It didn't do a good job tracking my swimming. It didn't do a good job.
Mm. Do you take Avastin? You can cut your blood pressure right there.
No, I don't.
All right, I'll prescribe it.
I don't have high blood pressure. Well, Dr. Kramer, I'm okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. All right, I'm just
trying
to help.
Does your Apple Watch measure
my blood
pressure?
I'm just trying to help.
Is that what you know?
My blood pressure's up because of this Chinese communist government. Anything they touch is a freaking nightmare. Anything. Anything. And that's why Gensler's just spot on. That and Coinbase.
It's coming on with us tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know. That's a very big win.
We can't wait.
I mean, can't get Chassis, but
Got Gensler. Take a look at the pre-market. Lots to get to still this morning, including Boeing, as Jim said, upping its long-term forecast. Got that revenue miss at Oracle, M&A at Intuit, and Goldman Sachs with a new CFO. We're back in a moment.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, makes it easy. I use it to put my investment account and 401k accounts into one hub and get expert tips that help me confidently manage my money. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Steve Scherer, the chief financial officer of Goldman Sachs, stepping down from that post at the end of the year. The company putting out a news release earlier this morning saying he will depart as of January 1 to be replaced by Dennis Coleman, who's been his deputy for some time, a long time a veteran of the firm as well, will take over. Scherer's been in the role for about 3 years. He's had so many different roles there, of course, a 28-year veteran of Goldman Sachs. You know, listen, you add his name to those of Greg Lemkow, or Eric Lane, or a number of other, perhaps less, but certainly senior employees of the firm who have departed over the last year, and some may say, hey, what's going on here? In the case of Mr. Scherer, you know, what I'm hearing is pretty straightforward, particularly because we sort of the same generation. You know, your window for leaving is finite in terms of a stock price at a high, when you can actually do it, before there's anything that might come your way that requires a lot of attention and time. And then your window for your career, frankly, is not open that much longer either in terms of making a jump, doing something new. And so I think that most likely this should be viewed in that way, Jim. You know, a guy at a certain age, having been there for a long period of time,
3 years.
Sees an opportunity.
Remember, David Vineyard was in that job for a lot longer.
This was
a very stable
Although
job.
Chavez didn't have the job for too long either,
Chavez
right?
was not, yeah. there were in some internal sense that maybe he did not deliver like he should have.
This is a case where obviously he's going out, or, so to speak, leaving the firm at, I mean, the stock has never been higher. Things are going very well. By the way, what I hear anecdotally from so many of the Wall Street firms, particularly investment banks, is they're killing it, just crushing it.
Yeah, they are crushing it. And yet, have you ever talked to a more miserable group of people? I mean, holy cow. I mean, honestly, they're like miserable. Their lives are horrible. They're like, you know, when you talk to them, be like, yeah, my life's horrible. But how much did you do last year? No, you don't understand. No, I actually do understand. How'd you do last year? I mean, there is this kind of conflict. I mean, a lot of people also, by the way, not Goldman, they like that New Hampshire's lifestyle. Well, they don't have to come to the office, but the Goldman guys actually went to the office.
Gotta come in every day. come in every day. They've been there. I mean, Scherz's been there by basically every day from the beginning of the pandemic. Him, Waldron, and
Solomon. Do you think Scherz was he miserable? No.
I have no idea. I don't believe that would be the case.
Well,
I think he's quite proud of his tenure there and what they've done. He was very instrumental in the continued building up of their presence in Marcus and that effort. But obviously, they are also the investment bank's been killing it. They're sort of private equity-like business. The recurring flows that they have of captive cash, so to speak, is very important. They're trying to get a valuation for that. You can't complain. If
for
you're
what
Goldman
it's worth,
Sachs right now at 411 bucks, even though Morgan Stanley does have a larger
market cap. No, he's going out at high.
Because it's done in a, gone in
going out
direction.
At high. A kind of, look, maybe this is just my own sourcing, but a liked guy. A little rough around the edges, but a liked guy.
Competent. Definitely
competent.
Quite competent.
Well, that's great. Competent. That's a real, wow, that's a high bar.
I like
him.
Yeah,
he was okay.
I like him.
I like him a lot.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I like him a lot.
That's two because, right there.
Well,
two people.
If you say something wrong, the commercial will come and then you will be corrected.
Well, even as you guys are talking, the Times has a letter from Senator Warren to Chair Powell asking him to break up Wells Fargo, break off its core banking from its other financial services. So we'll keep our eye on the banks today.
What?
Sharp.
I mean, where was that during the period where? I mean, what has Sharp done? What has Charlie Sharp done?
What has he done?
What? No, I'm saying that he got rid of the board. He got rid of all his senior reports, and now it's not enough. What do they want? What do they want of Sharp?
We will get Cramer's Mad Dash and countdown to the opening bell, which we'll get in just about 7 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until
that presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case
unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools. I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com, designed for work.
Between that cooler-than-expected CPI print, the Apple event, Gensler on the Hill, Andy Jassy on our air, the California recall, pretty busy Tuesday morning. Futures are close to session highs here as the CPI rolled in, and the opening bell is coming up in about 4 minutes.
Welcome back. We're going to squeeze in a Mad Dash here before we get to an opening bell about a minute from now. We mentioned Amazon briefly.
Yes.
You want to come back to it?
Yeah, I mean, Evercore comes out with a note today. This is prelude to Andy Jassy coming on at 11 o'clock. I mean, it runs Amazon, saying that we're just really kind of missing the whole point about the magnitude and meaning of Amazon's logistics expansion. Now, this is right in Jassy's wheelhouse, so it'll really be interesting to hear what he has to say. But they're raising their price target from 4,200 to 4,700. Now remember, this stock's at 3,457. So they're basically saying, listen, if you want the FANG standout, it's going to be this one. I've always felt that Amazon, same day, they're talking about super same day. I've always felt as Amazon goes, often large cap goes. And so I regard this as a very important call and one that you really want to go over with him, because what they're saying is they're going to pull away again. And pulling away on same day is something we all really want as customers.
Yeah.
And makes me feel that Prime could raise price without a problem.
It's definitely where the battle is increasingly. There's the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange at the big board, Intrinsic Exchange Group, and the NYSE celebrating the launch of natural asset companies, a new asset class of sustainable enterprises. At the NASDAQ, it's Sport Radar, provider of sports betting and sports entertainment, celebrating its IPO. Michael Jordan among those ringing the bell. We'll talk to the CEO in a little over an hour.
Getting crowded.
The space?
Crowded space.
Yeah,
crowded space. And I know that the people at Penn National are talking about how, because of David Portnoy, they don't need to do a lot of advertising, cost of acquisition. But anybody who's watching their emails this weekend, you would see, like, if Patrick Mahomes gets a half yard, you get $100. I mean, you know, there was kind of an absurdity to it.
You think if we just keep that shot up, they'll just keep applauding the entire time?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
The enthusiasm. It's good. Boeing, Jim, you said didn't really matter today, but they did raise their guide for the return of domestic travel, international travel, wide body, single aisle planes for 2030.
Yeah, fleet renewal, sustainability, efficiency, important resilience and travel demand. We've covered that before. We know it comes back. And then The whole idea that planes are just better and better and better is something that does matter, but, you know, not matter today. I struggle with anything in this presentation, as much as I like it, that is going to make it so we say, you know what, I want to get in ahead of a quarter. I want to get in about a possible equity offering, David.
Yeah.
Because maybe people feel the longer they go without wide body, the longer they go without Chinese orders, then I don't know any special insight that they need to raise money, but it's pretty obvious that they're not getting the orders that I thought they would get by this point.
You've not been positive on Boeing, you still own it in your charitable
trust?
Yes,
I do, because I'm taking a longer-term view.
I'm taking it because you've basically had nothing good to say about this company for a long time.
That has to do with the news flow, which is terrible.
But okay? Why haven't you just sold the stock?
Because I take a longer-term view.
Okay.
See, when you take a longer-term view, you can be as wrong as you want to.
I see.
No, I just think that in the end, I think that, the Chinese just simply not play ball at all? Will all the airlines not have a boom in travel? I know business travel's not come back yet. I happen to think that people want to go places, and that they're just waiting for the all clear.
We are getting some qualitative commentary out of Amex this morning.
Yes.
They say you saw a very strong July in T&E. Then you saw some softness in August sequentially. I will say that if I look at the early days of September, though, it looks a little bit stronger in the U.S.
Look,
Amex is leading the Dow.
Steve Squeer, I know that was not Squeer's comments, but Squeer has done a remarkable job. This initiative, this small business initiative, David, I know it sounds like just so much dross, but it is real. Their commitment to small business is extraordinary, mm-hmm. and I think that it's made it so that they have the correct ethos of younger people. Their millennial signups are rather extraordinary for American Express cards.
Speaking of small business,
what do you got?
Have you ever heard of MailChimp?
I sure have. It was bought by the same company that bought Credit Karma.
It was. Intuit, $12 billion.
I know.
In cash and stock from Intuit for MailChimp. It's a company is global customer engagement marketing platform. That's what it is for growing small and mid-market businesses. That is what they say. You can see Intuit shares actually responding positively, at least in the early going here, to that deal. But that's a big number.
Yeah, it is a big number. Traditionally, when
it's
you think about
a very large number. It's private. I don't know all of so I don't have a lot to measure it on here.
Well, remember when ExactTarget was bought by Salesforce, that was a couple billion. People laughed at that. That people thought that Mark Benioff paid too much, but it turned out to be a fantastic acquisition. David, I'm signing up to compare plans right now on MailChimp.
It's equal parts stock and cash.
Acquisitions have
being valued at $562 a share. So you can see already you're doing a little better if you.
Because their acquisitions are brilliant.
And then you're obviously getting cash as well. So
this is an amazing company. Look at that chart. Look at what they've done. And remember, this is a period, by the way, which has not been extraordinary for small business. But it's been Intuit is the way that you can cut your raw costs as a small business. David, they are the answer to not having an accountant on your payroll. They're also the answer, by the way, when the IRS knocks. It's like, wait, here's the numbers. Intuit's an incredible company.
Well, they have used acquisition, as you point out, to grow. Going to take on between $4.5 and $5 billion in additional debt as well to pay the cash portion of the consideration here again. $12 billion for MailChimp. That's a rich monkey.
Well, I remember when they bought Credit Karma, I said, are you kidding me? Like Karma? But it turned out to be something. People like to check credit scores, and they like to check where their house is in Zillow. I have friends who check their credit score I haven't checked my credit score in the last half hour.
And they check their house on Zillow, to make sure it's still there? What are they checking their house on Zillow? Is that what you do with all yours? You can do an aerial view to...
You really hit me on that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Can't own stocks,
yes,
so we
I
own
do.
Houses.
I don't know how Elizabeth Warren feels about it.
I've had my... I have a very good relationship with Senator Warren.
Does she know how many homes you own, though?
Well, she hasn't... That's not been the subject of the conversation. I'd be dealing more with the substance.
I think she may want to break you up, make you divest.
If not her, then AOC.
Yeah. Well, what she'd have to do is have me get divorced from my wife. That would be the breakup.
Well, she may have the power to do that. Who knows, you know? Or maybe Fed Chair Powell. She's going to write a letter.
No, Jay Powell is not. He's not in favor of those things. But MailChimp is one of those things where I just said, you know what? I'm giving Intuit the benefit of the doubt because everything that they've done. By the way, think about how the luck they had. H&R Block did brick and will you look at that?
There's AOC in her dress.
Megan Fox is like, what's on your dress?
I don't know. Do they have in Texas? Do they have cut the taxes for the rich dresses?
I don't know.
Tennessee?
I don't know. I mean,
how about Florida?
Just all those jobs at Amazon would have had it.
Oh, you
although, did you hear the comments from Eric Adams yesterday? His approach to business in New York City. Going to be a lot friendlier, he said. It would be a pivot from the de Blasio administration.
Yes. Which has not been friendly to business. And
you got that.
Of course, this is a federal official, not local, but she has also been fairly hostile.
Her. I don't know if you guys have interviewed her. I mean,
I've
invited her to this
and
show.
And business here in the New York City area.
I think that.
No, I'd love to have her on the show. Would have been great to have her.
Let's make that
during
happen.
During the maelstrom around the Amazon headquarters in Queens in particular, because she certainly was one of the key opponents.
She has big following.
Very large.
You were mentioning cloud a moment ago. Oracle, that revenue miss, Jim, was interesting. They blamed Forex for the top line miss.
Right. I want to urge people to read an Oracle conference call because Larry Ellison, founder, comes on and basically starts by saying, look, let me just explain something to you. We are bigger and better than almost everybody other than Amazon and Microsoft. We're well ahead of Google. And then there'd be a few comments about how a bunch of everybody else is idiots. And then he comes back and says, did I tell you that we are bigger than Google? We're not as big. I mean, the conference call was, it was strange. So then I think people were completely intimidated by Ellison because no matter what happens, I mean, here's the stocks down 3, they're all congratulating him. He manages by intimidation of the analysts. This Chevron,
he's
I can't
a tough
believe you
guy.
Had this. I was working on this myself.
Well, you're always looking over at my stuff.
Well, I like to front run you.
Yeah, I know you do.
It's legal in this business.
It is. I can look at your stuff, too.
Mike Worth is...
Well, you want to talk about Chevron? Let's talk about it. Stock's not doing too much, but
because nobody knows what you just are going to...
Well, no, it's in a press release, Jim. Chevron accelerates...
Well, there was a press release from Walmart yesterday. That didn't tell me anything.
No, that was my bad there.
No, it's okay.
For not being able to identify a fake press release.
It's okay.
When we obviously had doubts about what the heck they were talking about.
Hey, wait.
But here we're talking about Chevron. This is not a fake press release. They're accelerating their lower carbon ambitions. The key point here, guys, is they're going to invest, they say, more than $10 billion between now and 2028. That's $2 billion as well to lower carbon intensity of their operations. And that does triple the company's previous guidance of $3 billion. So they go from an expectation of spending $3 billion over, let's call it, the next 7 years, 6.5 years, to $10 billion. Obviously, still a lot less percentage-wise than they spend on getting oil out of the ground.
Right, but don't
but
you think...
it is a significant reflection of the focus of both Chevron and, of course, we have Exxon on the other side as well.
David,
not on the other side as well, focusing on these efforts.
Is this perhaps an insurance program? In other words... maybe a policy taken out against what happened to Darren Woods with Engine One.
Possible. I don't draw that much into those reports about Engine One. I think they have, with Chevron, I think they've met with many different oil companies.
Well, Mike Worth has been well ahead of many of the other people.
Unclear where that effort, if any, goes. But yes, although Worth has been going down this road for some time.
Yeah.
But this is a pretty significant increase.
No, it is. I'm glad you mentioned it because I think a lot of people are very... skeptical, Carl, about the idea that, well, wait a second, one of the largest carbon companies wants to be carbon neutral, but there are companies that are doing amazing things with carbon dioxide, putting it back in the ground or becoming carbon negative, some of the oil companies. And I think that some of I used to think these guys were uninvestable. They got the message, not from me, because that would be saying that my head is even bigger than yours. But what I do say is that when I look at these companies, they are concerned, and it may not be Engine One. They actually may care about the environment.
And as we've said many times, though, the amount of potential capital that is available to them continued to shrink for some time. That's not going the right way.
Well, and that's why so many commodity strategists have long-term views that you're going to be looking at supply crunches because of the pressures from ESG.
Right.
Look at we're at 71 today on crude, and
it's
as Nicholas
gas.
Is running into Houston this morning.
Natural gas is I don't think you can stop at 5-6. I think you can go much higher. I have Tellurian on tonight, Sharif Suki, chairman, and I just see whether it be the charts, whether it be the supply problems, whether it be the arbitrage between what you're getting for it in Europe and Southeast Asia versus us, it just makes no sense to sell here. That's sell it for $16 overseas.
That's going to make the price.
There's a good chart, huh?
Yeah, that is. By the way, speaking of ways to power things other than with fossil fuels, Morgan Stanley on Lucid, you see that? That's Adam Jonas initiating coverage of a lot of different stocks, or at least a few, but on Lucid, because, you know, we have been focused on that. The stock's down about 2.5%. Here's what he had to say. At a $31 billion valuation, the stock market appears to be ascribing an unusually high probability of scenarios where Lucid achieves very high market share, margins, or both. Where do we shake out? Well, we think Lucid can occupy a sustainable niche place in a difficult market, but at this stage, we see many obstacles left to hang with more established EV titans and grow into its
Adam
has been one of the most successful SPACs out there, of course, has Lucid.
Right. Adam's done the best work, I think, on the need to have batteries that are effective and also just, frankly, a possibility of a battery shortage. I know this is something that Ford's focused on. Remember, Ford wants to go all electric, and you see there you can plug in your F-150 and it can power tremendous number of things, but you've got to have enough batteries to be able to meet the demand. I don't think Ford does right now.
How about
it's not just semiconductors.
And then, of course, there's the hires from Lowe's yesterday, right, on the Ford front, and Apple trying to bolster their EV development program.
I know, and I think that Apple was kind of reacting somewhat to, that Doug Field coup, that when he went to...
Doug Field left, leaving Apple
to go to Ford. I think there's a lot of excitement at Ford right now about the new lineup. And look, we all watch the commercials, those of us who watch football, and you just kind of figure out, it's not just the Super Bowl, who's got things going. And I found that the Ford story narrative is a little exciting than Mustang, F-150 electric. It's a little more exciting than most of the narratives.
They got that guy who talks in a very low voice. About
That's Chevy truck.
Oh, that's Chevy. That is that Chevy? That's not Ford?
A Chevy truck. No.
Chevy.
No. The Ford guy talks like a regular guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused.
We were mentioning China a while ago, and Kathy Wood actually talked about what it would take for her to have her interest in Chinese equities renewed. This was at the Salt Conference yesterday. Take a listen.
What we did in the series of moves recently around China, we have taken our position down significantly, but stayed with a few of
the low
margin.
What would it take for you to turn?
To invest more?
What would you need to see?
What would I need to see? I think it would be Xi Jinping saying, you know, whoops, we made a mistake, we're open for business. I don't think he'll do that. So I don't think we'll be hugely involved with China.
Sort of a reflection of what's her distaste for Chinese names. By the way, still very active in crypto and Ether in particular.
Yes, I'm an Ethereum guy, just because I think it's going to be more easily used. What happened yesterday, I had Mark Bristow on last night. Dr. Mark Bristow is the CEO of Barrick.
Yes.
And again, we often compare gold as a store of value versus, say, crypto. And Mark's taking a longer-term view more than, say, 10 years. Say in 10,000 years, and gold seems to have held its value to some degree, but people are getting a little upset that gold hasn't soared in an era where we all feel that inflation.
Gold is down 6% for the year.
I know. How do you like that? But I like
roughly. I'm looking at the GLD. I shouldn't say
that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. But Kathy Wood, I mean, when you take a look at what did come out of the Chinese last night with the idea that maybe Macau should be diversifying away from gaming, well, that's like. Vegas should be a little more like, I don't know, they should take up manufacturing semiconductors. No. I mean, the idea of Macau is gaming. So if you're going to make it less dependent on gaming, that means you're probably going to hurt gaming, not boost all sorts of other businesses. We look at this.
Yeah.
Every day we come in and people say, you know what, they're done. They're done.
Oh, today it was the civilized internet. That's what their goal is, a civilized internet in which they will regulate the flow of content and information distribution.
Well, so I mean,
I like the words. Civilized internet sounds
good. We could use a little bit of that,
But we certainly could use a little more civility, but you can't police things.
No, and I do think that anybody who's in, my wife was in China for 18 hours 2 years ago. Burnerville, right? Yeah, burner. It's like the wire.
Yes, you have to take your burner
China.
Phone. Yes.
Burner.
Yes.
Right? Don't you presume? I mean, did. I mean, I was speaking to my stepson. He was in, he happened to have, he was, he was camel surfing. You know, you find, you surf behind him, my goal, he hurt his shoulder. And I said, like, look, I don't know if I trust the doctors. You can't do that. You trust the doctors. You trust the doctors. That's like, you know, hey, just a second. That's like hospital for special surgery up there in Mongolia. That's what you, they want you to say.
I remember right? that.
They want you to say that.
I remember that.
It just
We do we have the Dow up 82. VIX is back below 19. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Morning, guys. Happy Tuesday. The CPI is the big story, weaker than expected. That is undercutting the inflation hawk argument a little bit. And that was good for 20 points at 8:30 Eastern time on the S&P 500. We're off of the highs right now, but still to the upside. Take a look at the sector leaders. And they've been the leaders throughout the month, really. Energy and semiconductors are two of the big market leaders. It hasn't been a huge outperformance from a lot of sectors this month, but consumer discretionary up. Healthcare banks have been weak, essentially sideways to down for many, many months now. They've not been a leadership group for a long time. A lot of people complain so far we've been a kind of a trendless market. That's not quite true. The S&P is down about 1%. There have been a few modest outperformers, but not many. Most of them are in the tech space. So if you look here, technology sectors like semiconductors have been strong recently. Cloud technology has been doing well. Energy in the cyclical group has been the one big outperformer among cyclicals. NASDAQ 100, flattish. Remember, the S&P is down about 1%. More interesting is the downside trends that we've seen. So pharmaceuticals have been down. You've heard about these concerns about the government getting involved again in potentially Medicare and pricing drugs there. That's been an issue. That's hurt them. Home construction down on higher labor and material costs. Retail down on the reopening story, softening a little bit, as are industrials and transportation. So more interesting what's happening on that side of things. But again, not a big, big decline overall. Not trendless is the IPO market. Keeping track of this every day, the calendar's filling up. We told you a couple of weeks ago about names that were potentially out there, but not we don't have them on a calendar. We're starting to get calendars filling up. So this week we'll get On Holding down here. That's a big shoe and apparel company from Switzerland. That'll be at the NYSE. ThoughtWorks Holding will be at the NASDAQ, big digital consulting group. Next week, Toast should be coming as well. Digital payments, AKA Brands, that's out there. That's a big fashion retailer that's out. And the week after that, Warby Parker in a direct listing will be down here at the New York Stock Exchange. This calendar is going to fill up. I anticipate in the next week, I'll have a lot more of the big names, particularly some of those big consumer names that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Finally, Gensler is testifying today, and of course, in the Senate Banking Committee. And it's very clear there's three main policy initiatives that he's pushing, that he's going to emphasize. The first one is, of course, on market structure and on payment for order flow. He's made it very, very clear that he is basically hostile to payment for order flow and excessive concentration, as he calls it, of market players. There's really two that we're talking about. That is Citadel and Virtu. We'll hear what they have to say later on. He also is talking a lot about predictive analytics. This is a fancy statistical term, but it really refers to the gamification of trading. He's made it very clear that he's concerned about gamification of trading and has made it clear that he thinks they pose as conflicts of interest for the broker, since they're designed to optimize trading, he believes, and revenue and data collection, and he thinks there's a conflict of interest, and he's been very vocal about that. Finally, on crypto, and this is probably going to be the most controversial, last week he really surprised a lot of people by essentially indicating that Coinbase's lending program might be a security, the move here indicates that he is considering most crypto assets as security at this point, and he's bringing all these assets, he wants to bring them within the purview of the SEC. So he's essentially taking a step back here. He's attempting to seize regulatory control over a very large swath of crypto assets. And you know, Carl, I think what's going on here is he's made it clear he believes it's necessary to get clarity on the regulatory front before he moves ahead with anything else in the crypto space. And that includes the much-awaited, long-awaited crypto ETF, the Bitcoin ETF that's out there. I don't think you're going to see anything until we clarify exactly what kind of regulatory control the SEC has over these. So we'll be monitoring Gensler. He'll be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And by the way, 3 p.m. today at Eastern time, Doug Cifu, the head of Virtu. We'll have him on closing bell to get his response to Gensler's comments this morning's. Carl, back.
All right. Tomorrow will be a busy morning. We can't wait for that, Bob. Thank you, Bob Pisani. As we go to break, let's get a look at the bond report, see how treasuries are faring this morning, as we did get that cooler than expected CPI number. 10-year just south of 132. Dow's up 66. And once again, typical morning, we got a nice pop at the open. We'll see if and when it fades. Be right back.
Winner and new cybersecurity champion Nikesh Arora will be on today, fresh off an analyst day. And then Sharif Sukhi, who is the man who predicted that natural gas could go through the roof. And it is. There we go.
We'll see you tonight.
I can't wait to see Amazon.
Yes.
Tell him I said hi.
We'll
tell him I'll see him at the. Tell him I won't see him in the Super Bowl.
Dow has gone red. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.